want to preach the second part of Stephanie's message that she got on so much. So go ahead and turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Hallelujah. We do it all the time for offering, but I want to preach just a little bit from there. Maybe let it look at it just a little bit different for you. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over. Shall men give," am I saying it right? "Shall men give unto your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again." Now, we don't talk about that a whole lot, but really what he's saying there is the way that you're going to do this, the way that you give out of yourself, is the way it's coming back to you. I got one, yeah. See, because we don't want to hear that. We want to hear that God is just going to lay it on us whether we do much or not. But that, see, God's word is, most of the promises, all the promises really are conditional on we doing what He says do first. So here the commandment is what? Give. Now, I'm not preaching on money today, okay? But I want to just spend a little bit of time on the first two verses here because we need to get into this. But notice here that it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." And I started, God just kind of bounced this around. We were talking the other day about, you know, some things. But when I got to thinking about this, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." See, you got to understand that it is not always money. And that's what messes with people. "Give, and it shall be given to you." What's your it? Because sometimes it ain't money that you need, because sometimes you need it that money can't buy. That can't be purchased with money. When the doctor's shaking his head and saying, "It is over," that's a it that you can't purchase with money. You need a different it from God then. Right? But you see, the giving opened up the door for that it. I'm going to prove it to you before I get through with these two verses that I'm going to talk about. But notice here that it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." Now, Stephanie gave a good illustration about that, you know, shaking the popcorn, shaking the meal, getting things to go down. And that's what he's talking about, that kind of measure. But I like the running over part. Don't you? That running over the part in the Greek really means this. It means to pour out over. That is to overflow. Anybody in here needs some overflow? Come on, see, that's what I'm preaching to you about today is overflow. Because you've got to understand that you ought to be expecting more than just enough for you to do good. That's good. You want to do good. God wants you to do good. But God didn't set you down here so that you could just do good. God set you down here so that you could do good, overflow, and help somebody else. I'll prove it to you from Scripture. We'll get through there. But I just wanted you to see this it thing. That it'll be given to you. And it will be running over. It will be overflowing your life. Whatever the it is you're needing. Whatever it is that you're requiring of God, that you're asking God about. See, that's what we have to understand in this thing. Now jump over here with me, over here to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, another verse. It's about giving too. Don't get uptight on me. Now, I'm preaching on overflow this morning. But I wanted to just show you. So, see, a bullet won't come out of a gun until the trigger's pulled. There's got to be something that triggers that bullet to make it fire. Can I get an amen from somebody? Amen. You know, your car don't start unless you trigger it with the key. Come on. Or yeah, now it's push button. You got to push the button now. You know. So you've got to understand, faith is triggered by you doing an action. And even giving is an action of faith. You have to trust the Word when it says, give and it shall be given. You have to trust that when Jesus said that, He meant it. And that it will come to pass. And you also have to trust the pressed down, shaken together, running over part of that Scripture. That's all part of what Jesus says that He wants for us when we trigger it. Okay? So now let's look here in Malachi and see what Malachi has to say here. Malachi says in Malachi chapter 3, and I'm going to just jump down to verse 10. I'm not going to bring it all into you, but I'm going to show you this part. He says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Notice that God says, I want you to bring in the tithe so that it can be used in the house for whatever needs to be done. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about meat in the house. Of course, but during this time, a lot of times the tithe was meat. But it was still to supply and sustain the house and the people that were working at the house. But he says, so there'll be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And he goes on and says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, see, that's folks all the time, well, you know, that's Old Testament. No, it is Old Testament, but Jesus reiterated the tithe in the New Testament. But I'm not wanting to talk about just the tithe here. What I want you to see is he said, when you tithe, look what happens. He opens the windows of heaven and pours you out a blessing that there shall not be room to receive it. You know what that is? That's overflow. If you can't receive it, then it's flowing over, right? Come on now. And see, and notice then that the tithe also activates that where he rebukes the devourer. And again, that may not be money there. See, that may be the enemy coming at you to try to do some things, you know. But he says, there will not be room enough for you to receive it. So that is overflowing. That is God pouring it out. It's all about overflow. Now, can I tell you something? God wants you living in the overflow. He wants you living so much in the overflow that it's not just on you, it gets on everybody else. Amen. See, that's the kind of overflow that God wants in our life. And see, if you listen to so many preachers, listen to a lot of Christians, they think God don't want you to have anything. They think that, you know, that you just ought to be just barely making it through, and most of their songs are sung about that. Right? You know, they want you to think that God doesn't want you blessed, but God wants you blessed. Yeah. Right? Look, we've just read two scriptures where God wants you, you know, it's running over. Yeah. It's overflowing. You can't receive it all. Right. See, you've got to understand, God is pouring that blessing out, and He wants us to be like a big old sponge and just soak it up. Just receive that. Can I illustrate that for you just a little bit here? Anybody want to get wet this morning? Who am I going to freak out this morning? People that clean's already smothering. They're getting nervous. See, when God starts pouring out, I'll turn that around this way. That says Pastor Mike. That says, be careful or you will end up in my sermon. But God begins to pour out. Now, let me show you something. As God pours it out, we start getting full. And see that thing right there? I mean, it's just up around the rim right now. You can't see that. But see, God wants you more than just full. He wants you to have overflow. Now, here's the thing about that. See, as you begin to pour out into this thing, look at that. It's overflowing, and I hope the sponge is soaking up some of it. Because that's what we ought to be. It's like that old sponge, just soaking it up. I know y'all freaking out. See, that's the problem, is you start freaking out when God starts pouring it out, and it's going all over the place, and you don't know what you're going to do. It's too much for me. What am I going to do? Well, that's where you start then getting over to the overflow to share it with somebody else. Amen. See, some of you freaking out right now, but see, here's what I want to show you. I've got a sponge here that'll soak up some of that. Okay? Now, I can take some of that right there, and I can come right out here. See what? I mean, look at that. I mean, that's even the sponge. Even the sponges. See? And if I'm soaking it up like a sponge, and I can just get over here and shake a little bit off on Rick, right? I can shake a little bit over on Pastor Ed, a little bit over on Scotty, and you know. And look here, I still got a lot. I mean, I'm not using me up because I'm still under the overflow, and God's still pouring it out on me, and I'm soaking it up, and then I can just give it out. Just give it out. Just give it. See, that's where God wants you. Most people are stingy and selfish because all they want is just enough for them. They don't want enough to be able to pour it out on somebody else. So God's saying, listen, I'm trying to give it to you to where you can't contain it all. I'm trying to teach you that my running over and that you there's not enough room to receive it is for you to be able to pass it on down to somebody else. Come on, the Bible teaches that a good man saves up for his children's children. And so when God's pouring it out, we ought not just look at ourselves and say, well, that's fine. You know, a lot of people do that. Oh, no, that's all right. We're good. We're good. We don't need nothing else. No, you've got to understand, you need to make sure that you are not only blessed, but a blessing. Come out of it. God wants you to be a blessing. We have a hard time when we're out traveling together, some of us do, because everybody's buying. And if you start to say, I'll get mine, they'll say, don't rob me of my blessing. Don't rob me of my blessing. You know. Now, Pastor Ed says, I just work to eat. And she's probably not far off from on that, you know, it's because I do eat good. But you know what? You know, that's just part of the blessing, being blessed to be able to eat. Right? So now let me show you something now. I did all that and I shared, and that was just the overflow because this cup, as you can see, is still full. Right? Come on now. See, that's what people, I might need my money. Is God pouring out to you? Come on. Are you expecting the running over? Then it don't matter because all you're doing is blessing out of your overflow. See, and that's what God wants you walking in, is that overflow to where you're not worried if I give somebody some money to bless them, I won't be able to pay my bills. I don't know about you, but I've been there and I've done that. You know, I hear God speak and say, bless them, and I'm like, Lord, if I give this, then I don't know what I'm going to do about that. Come on. See, you don't want to be in that place. You want to be on that place to where when God says, bless, yes. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to give out and to bless. Come on. You see, and so that's why it's so important in our finances, and I'm just on the first two verses here. That's why it's so important in our finances that we're doing what God says to do so that we can be able to do what God says to do. Amen. We're obeying the Word, and then the Word blesses us to the place that we can then obey the commandment of God when He speaks to our heart and tells us to do this or that. Amen. So we need to be living in that overflow. That's why God wants us over in that overflow. Now, In 1 Kings, I want to just show you a couple of scriptures here. We won't keep you too long this morning, but in 1 Kings chapter 17, there's the story here now of Elijah. And Elijah has just prophesied a drought. He said, "Don't let it rain anymore till I say it rains anymore." And so everything starts drying up. Elijah goes down. God tells him, go down to the brook. And down at the brook, he has something to drink. He has ravens bringing him meat. You think God can't take care of you? God can take care of you if you'll let Him. You know, some folk will be like, I'm not going to eat any meat that some bird brought me. If you didn't have nothing else, you would. Come on now. So here he is, and the brook dries up then. And God says, I want you to go over to Zarephath. Just, you go over there, there's a widow over there that I've talked to already. And so he goes over that way, and when he gets over close, he sees this woman outside, and he asks her, he said, would you fetch me a glass of water? And so she just quits what she's doing. She's going in to get him some water. And then while she's on her way back in, he says, and if you wouldn't care, bake me a cake. And she's got some sticks, and she said, as the Lord liveth, I'm out here to gather these two sticks, and I've got just a little meal, and I'm going to make a cake, and me and my son are going to eat it, and we're going to die. This is it. It's all we got. And the man of God had enough nerve to look at her and say, bake me a little cake first. And see, every one of the religious folks right there says, you see right there, that's all he wanted was for the last bite of poor little old widow. He's taken the very last bite she's got. He went on to say, you bake me a little cake first, and then you can go ahead and bake for you and your son. Well, she's just told him that's all she's got. But you see, there's an overflow getting ready to happen. So the Bible says that she... Now, you've got to understand, in those days, the voice of the prophet was the voice of God to the people. God didn't speak to the people. He spoke to the priest, the prophet, the king, and they spoke to the people. So when she received that word from that prophet and she did what he said and made him a cake, what she was doing was putting God first. So she made him the cake, and the Bible says then that for many days neither the barrel of flour wasted or the cruse never failed. Matter of fact, it lasted all the way through the drought. She, her son, and the prophet ate. Just kept on. Every time she'd go to that barrel, guess what? There'd be some flour there. I don't know. See, in my mind, I'm kind of picturing that maybe every time it was just enough for the cakes, what she needed that day. Now, you know that's what God did with the manna, right? Get enough to do you today, and tomorrow you get fresh. Right? Maybe that, but maybe also, see, there's this thought in my mind also, since God's such a God of overflow, that when she went back in there after she made the cake for the prophet, that she went back in and all of a sudden, here's this barrel plumb full of flour, and the cruse is plumb full of oil. And every time she'd make a cake, it'd just fill right back up. See, that's the kind of God we serve. And so she's here and she's doing that. See, that's overflow because she did what the man of God said. She put God first. A lot of time we don't want to do what God said. We want to do what we want to do. Right? See, and so we have to be careful that we're not putting ourselves before God or what God wants us to do. We're doing what God says do. Now, if you move on over into 2 Kings over there, we find another story, and this time it's with Elisha. It's in 2 Kings chapter 4, and I could read this out, but I'll just paraphrase it and tell you what's going on here. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 there, we have another widow, and she comes to the man of God, and she says, listen, my husband that was one of the prophets, one that worked for God, put God first, served God faithfully. He's died now. and we owed some bills, and the debtors are coming to take our sons and make them slaves to pay the debt. And so Elisha, now the prophet, looks at her and says, "What do you got in your house?" And she said, "I don't have anything but a little pot of oil." You see, here's the thing you've got to understand about God. God can use anything that you'll allow Him to use. See, a lot of times we're saying, "Well, how could I do that? I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I can't do anything." No, no, you are a promised child of God, an anointed child of God, and God wants to use what you've got to be a blessing. She said, "I just got a pot of oil." He said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and I want you to borrow vessels." "Don't borrow a few." Did you hear what I just said? He said, "Don't borrow a few. Go borrow vessels and you pour out of your pot of oil into those vessels." So she gets her sons. They go out in all the neighborhood. They start gathering in vessels, empty vessels. They bring them into the house and she shuts the door. And she starts pouring out that oil. And as she pours out of her pot don't get empty. It just keeps coming out of her pot. And she fills up the vessel. And then she fills up a vessel. And then she fills up. How many knows we got some overflow going on here? That she's already filled three vessels and she's still pouring out of the pot. She just keeps filling up. She just keeps filling up. And she's filling. And I almost feel like the oil now is just flowing. And she's trying to get things underneath it. Because she says, "Bring me another vessel." And they said, "Mama, that we don't have another vessel." And the oil stopped. See, God will pour out overflow on you as long as you're willing to receive it. And when you quit getting to the place where you'll receive what God has, it'll stop. And notice something. She was filling empty vessels. God can't fill a vessel that's already full. And most of the time that's because it's full of everything else besides Him. So she fills them all up. That's all she's got. They can't borrow anymore. The oil stayed. And she goes back to the man of God and says, "All right, I did what you told me to do." And he says, "You take that now and you sell that and you pay off all your debts and you and your son live on the rest of it." See, you just read that and go right on by. What you don't understand was what he said is God just supernaturally paid all your debt off. You're debt free now. Plus, God has given you enough where you don't have to worry about being dead anymore. You and your sons live on the rest of it. See, we can't see God filling us up that full, but God can and will. You have to believe God. Tell God right now, "God, I want overflow." Yeah, just tell her, "God, I want the overflow. Come on, I want the press down, shaking together, running over. I want the overflow." Here she has now, supernaturally, debt free. See, you don't understand. When you start getting in line with the Word of God and doing what God says, God can command a heathen somewhere to come and pay your house off for you. Come on. I said He'd do that. He could command a heathen. But He also can command a rich brother. And also He can turn you into a rich brother. A rich sister. Come on. A rich child of God. So that you can do the same thing. But you have to be willing to keep getting filled up. Keep the flow going. You can't cut off your flow from God and expect to be able to do what God wants you to do. And so you have this. Now with two widows here, that God sustained them just because they were being obedient to what the men of God were telling them to do. Now, David knew a little bit about overflow. Go with me over to Psalm 23. Anybody ever read Psalm 23? Psalm 23. Let's just read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We could just stop there for a while. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means all my needs met, church. Come on. He's supplying for me. I just showed you how He can supply. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the kind of peace the world gives, but my peace give I unto you. If we could get Christians to just get over into peace, we'd change the world. Because most Christians are more worried than a lot of folks that are not saved. Always anxious about something. Always wanting. The doctors are pushing anxiety medicine. You go to the doctor and how you doing? One of the first things they'll ask you about, have you had any thoughts of committing suicide, this and that, you know. One of the questions on there is, do you have a gun in your house? Why, that's none of your business. If I want a whole house full, what's that got to do with my medical health? It's a good way for the government to get information, but it's not nothing to do with my medical health. I had a little sidetrack for you. Okay. But we need peace in our life. It says He leads us. The green pastures. Man, don't you just... I personally just love driving through the country. And so it's a lot of times in a place that I've never been before. And just look at the beautiful green fields. And I mean, there's just a peace about just taking a... That's why motorcycle... You know that's why motorcycle guys drive through the country, right? They like to get the look around. I mean, you know, they got the wind blowing in their hair and they're just all cool and free and, you know, gives them a peace. Still waters. There is nothing more peaceful than sitting beside a stream. Just listening to that water trickle. When I camp, I like to be close to water. I just like to, whether it's a stream or lake or whatever. There's something peaceful about water. And that's what David's saying. He says, you know, he leadeth me by the still waters. Something about that brings peace. Now let's read the next one with me. Okay. He restoreth my soul. In other words, as he's doing this, I'm getting my mind cleared up. See, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So what he's saying is, he's bringing me back to where I need to be in my thinking, in how I feel. Why? Because how you think and how you feel determines a lot of things in your life. Matter of fact, thinking, it really messes you up. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. So you need to be brought to that. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Notice that. God wants you to stay on the right track because you're His kid. He don't want to be getting a bad name from you. Can I say that? You know. Kid does something. Most of the time they don't say, you know, it's a whole lot about the kid. They may say it's a mean kid. But then they say the parents ought to do something about that kid. They look back at the parents. So he leads me for in righteousness ways before his own name's sake. So that, you know, everybody say, look at that. That's a child of God right there. There's something different about them. Amen. That's the lives we ought to be living, church. Listen to this now. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Notice that you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a shadow. You ever heard of anybody being afraid of the shadow? Right? I've heard that. Oh, they're afraid of their shadow. It's the shadow of death. Why? Because His rod and staff is right there to take care of you and to comfort you. So it don't matter what the enemy's throwing at you. Just look at it as a shadow. Shadow will disappear. Come on. Light can cause the shadow to go away. I understand that light cast makes a shadow. But when you have light directly over your head, the shadow goes away. So when we bring God directly over our heads. That shadow of death got no place to go. It's got to leave. Hallelujah. He goes on and he says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Isn't that awesome? I'm going to sit right down and have a big meal right in front of the devil when he's telling me I'm going to starve to death, I'm going to die, I'm not going to make it, it ain't going to be good. Right in the middle of that, God sets me down in front of him and gives me a meal. Come on now. Right in the middle when the devil's been telling you you're going down, you're not going to make it, you're going broke, you get a check in the mail. Right in the middle of the doctor telling you, well, it don't look good. We're going to run some tests and stuff, but I've just got to be straight with you. It looks bad, but we'll run some tests and see when you... And then right in the middle of that, they run the test and the test comes back negative. Well, there must have been a glitch or something on the x-ray. Apparently there was a shadow or something. That's right, it was a shadow, and that shadow had to leave because I believe in God that there's nothing coming near my dwelling. I believe in God that He's the standard that's raised up against this thing. Amen. You see, so that's where you have to be. You have to be believing God right in the middle of all this other chaos that no matter who's saying it or what's saying it or anything like that. Don't believe everything you see on TV. Don't believe everything you hear on the news. Trust God and let God be first in your life, and it won't matter no way. Amen. Amen. So you have to believe in God, trust in God through this thing. And he goes on and he says this, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Well, we know that, right? We know we're anointed. The Bible teaches you that you're anointed. David said, "You anoint my horn with fresh oil." God anointed you. So don't you let anybody tell you that you're not anointed. You're anointed by God. And then David says a peculiar thing. "My cup runneth over." My cup run. David knew something about overflow. Right? David starts talking about his cup running over. What we got? Once again, here's David. He's talking. "My cup's running over. It's over. It's going everywhere. My cup's running over." All the time he knew his cup was running over, even when he was facing times that Saul was trying to kill him. Saul was trying to take him out. He had Saul's whole army after him. And David's out there writing, "My cup runs over. My cup's running over." No wonder those people that came down to the cave came out as David's mighty men, because he taught them in there about their cup running over no matter what they was going through. That even though the enemy was there, he prepared a table right there in the presence of the enemy so that the devil would know he's already defeated. And see, you have to see that. You have to see that. The devil's already defeated. God's looking at there and saying, "Stick out your cup. Here you go. Here's you some more. Just in case the devil needs to see it. There's you some more." So you've got to get used to this. Some of you are still freaking out. You've got to get used to it. It can't overflow unless it's going somewhere. Right? I'm tempted. I really am. Do you know it was? Okay. "My cup runneth over." See, when you know that, it don't matter. You're overflowing. It don't matter what the report says, you're overflowing. Let me tell you something about overflow. I got to show you. I got to show you one more time because I ain't freaked you out enough. Uh-oh. See, I can't. Thank you. As long as the cup is overflowing, nothing else can't get in. Do you understand that? As long as God keeps overflowing your cup, nothing else can get in. Hallelujah. See, you've got to see that. When you start seeing that and you start getting a bad report, I won't see that because my cup's overflowing. Ain't nothing else can get into my body because I'm overflowing with the anointing of God. God has given me health and well-being. Come on now. My cup's overflowing. I'm overflowing with God. And as long as I'm overflowing with God, there ain't no place in there for the devil. He don't have place in my life. That's why Paul wrote, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him any place and there won't be any place for him. Don't make any room for him. There won't be any room for him. See? God wants us living in that overflow to the place that's how you have joy right in the middle of everything. That's why Stephanie talked about John 10:10. And it says that the thief cometh but not for to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. Anything that kills, steals, destroys is the thief. It's the devil. But Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, I wrote this down, so I wanted to look it up just so you'd see how much better it is. More abundantly means this in the Greek. Superabundant, how many know superabundant means just that? Super. You know, you got Superman, right? It means in the Greek, now listen to this. It means superabundant in quantity. In quantity, we're talking about life that Jesus gives you. Superior in quality. It means excessive. Superabundant in quantity. So you could say it like this. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it superabundant in quantity and superior in quality, that you might have life excessive. Man, that's good, ain't it? God wants you to have an excessive life. Now, I like the Amplified because the Amplified likes my message too. Here's what the Amplified says. I came that they might have and enjoy life. See, that's where the quantity and the quality comes in. Right? That they might have and enjoy life and have it in the abundance to the full till it overflows. Hallelujah. He came that you might have life, have it abundantly to the full till it overflows. See, God has always planned on His kids living in overflow. He never wanted us living in the not enough. He never wants us living in poverty. He never wants us living in want. He never wants us doing without. He has always wanted His kids to be super abundant. Remember what the Scripture said? God is able to do it exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. That exceeding abundantly is the same thing as super abundant. That's what God wants in our lives. But we're going to have to get our minds and our hearts in tune to the Word of God so that God can start doing this. And we've got to see ourselves that way. If you see yourself poor and broke all your life, you'd be poor and broke all your life. You have to see yourself the way God sees you. How many of you watched the Cheetos movie yet? What's it called? Flaming Hot. Flaming Hot. And you've not watched that yet. Okay, I've got one that's watched it. It's on Disney. I don't think it's got anything in it. If it did, the movie's good. Because it's all about the guy that came up with the Flaming Hot to put on the Cheetos. And he went from a janitor And that's all I'm going to tell you. But let me just tell you, the sky's the limit for you. It don't matter where you're at right now. And it don't matter if people are telling you you're never going to get past where you're at right now. You're a janitor, you'll always be a janitor. That's not true. You're just an old, in poverty, you're just a soul sinner saved by grace, and you'll never be more than that. It's not true. God wants you to get in the overflow and end up on top.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
That's where I want you above only and not beneath, right? The head and not the tail.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it says in Deuteronomy. That's what God wants for you. But you've got to get that mindset. I'm going to be what God wants me to be, and I'm going to succeed the way God wants me to be, and I'm going to have what God wants me to have, because God done said it, and if God said it, it's settled.
Yeah, that's right.
Now all I got to do is just follow after Him and let it come to pass in my life.
Yeah, right.
Amen? Amen? Stand to your feet with me. God wants you in overflow. Well, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, God, that hearts and minds have been opened today to understand the overflow.